Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Cynthia Stoddard to the broadcast. Cynthia is a Senior Vice President and Chief Information Officer at NetApp, a $6 billion computer storage and data management company. As CIO, Cynthia is in charge of the company's overall infrastructure, as well as providing a long-term technology vision in support of the company's goals and strategies. Prior to joining NetApp, Cynthia was the Group Vice President of Information Technology at Safeway. She's also held CIO positions for NOL Group, APL, and Circle International Group. Cynthia received her Bachelor of Science degree in accounting from Western New England University and her MBA from Merrillhurst University. I recently caught up with Cynthia at her office in the Bay Area, and our conversation covered world-class IT Principle 1, people, as we discussed the methods used to track and retain excellent IT talent within NetApp, Principle 4, IT and business partnerships, as we discussed IT's role in innovation at NetApp. We also discussed her career path and areas of commonality at IT departments in the many industries within which she has worked, the way that her team engages with NetApp's customer base, how her organization utilizes the young talent currently joining the company, as well as a variety of other topics. This is Peter High. Please consider reading my new book, Implementing World-Class IT Strategy, How IT Can Drive Organizational Innovation. The book covers topics such as the CIO as strategic facilitator, the development of IT missions, facilitating corporate and divisional strategy, the development of IT's own strategic plans, the development of enterprise architecture, reviewing, refreshing, and communicating strategy, and several other topics, all told with stories from leading CIOs from a variety of major corporations. You can find it at Amazon.com, my publisher's website, Wiley.com, and at your better bookstores. Thank you very much. Cynthia Stoddard, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Thank you, Peter. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, I feel the same way. I thought we would begin, Cynthia, with a discussion about NetApp itself, generally speaking. The company's obviously in the midst of a significant transformation at the moment. And I wonder if you could kind of let us know how things are at the moment and also IT's role in that transformation.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the whole technology industry is transforming all around us with the ability to use cloud as a key enabler of the business. And one of the things I think that's important is, you know, with as fast as business and technology is changing, IT needs to embrace the change. So, you know, we can't really just sit in the back room and stick with our old ways. We've got to really look to the future and say, how can we enable our business users to be more successful and more productive? And how can we get that value out of IT? So one of the things that we've done here within both NetApp and NetApp IT is we recognized a few years ago that cloud was going to be a key enabler, a key building block to anything that we've done. So we've built out our infrastructure within IT to enable not only business capability that we have and the flexibility and the agility that the cloud brings to that space, but also to contribute to showcasing our products. You know, and we've been a leader in the data management and storage space, but also if you look at the cloud and what we've been doing within the cloud space, we have a vision for data fabric. And what the data fabric does, it allows you to connect your information between your on-premise, your cloud, your SaaS providers, really in a hybrid environment, and maintain control and ownership of that information, that data. So if you look at what we've done within NetApp, we are fully hybrid in our environment. You know, we're able to host either on-premise traditional, on-premise private cloud, SaaS, or public cloud, or hyperscaler. And it's all tied together with our data fabric and also with a series of orchestration tools that bring everything together. this very unified view of data throughout all these environments that becomes very, very powerful and really helps enable the business to make the decisions and actually have the productivity that they need during their business processes.
It's interesting as you talk about topics that are relevant to the company and relevant to IT and obviously relevant to your company's customers. It brings to mind something I've heard you talk about in the past, that you've been a proponent of NetApp on NetApp, that is the IT department becoming kind of the first client, so to speak, of the organization. Can you describe how you've gone about that and the advantages you have had as being a CIO in a company that serves IT departments?
Yeah, it's actually a very rewarding experience. It's been great. You know, we've always at NetApp have had a NetApp on NetApp program. But what we did a few years ago, actually it's about three and a half years ago, is we embarked on a journey to say, how can we make this program really best in class? In the past, you know, we would take our product and use it. I would say when we felt it was ready, you know, maybe when it was generally available. So we've challenged the team, and the team came up with an absolutely amazing structure to say, we want to be the first customer of NetApp product. And what they do is, as the product comes out of the engineering group, they actually test and put it through its paces as a normal IT organization would. Now, we just don't test products, but we'll test processes, procedures, you know, in the support area, and give that feedback. We have a feedback loop with our engineering organization, and we also have a feedback loop with the support organization. So my team, my storage team, my customer one team, work very closely with both groups there. And, you know, they test, they give feedback, they find bugs, they say, oh, an IT organization really wouldn't use it that way. You know, maybe you can change this and that. So it's brought an IT very close to the business. And we started there with the engineering and the support organization. But we've even progressed it and matured it since, you know, what we've done in the customer one and the engineering phase. Another component of the NetApp on NetApp program is to share best practices. And we can absolutely and do share best practices on how we use our products as the big topic that the team will discuss with customers and potential customers. But customers are also interested in, how do you run your IT organization? How do you approach moving to the cloud? How have you guys done it? You know, what challenges have you seen? How have you handled maybe some of the soft skill issues that arise when you do a massive change like that? How do you, you know, ready your organization? Are you using services? Do you have any directory, a catalog of services, and how have you approached that? You know, there's just a whole wide variety of topics that people are interested in discussing and benchmarking, just sharing thoughts on. So part of our program now has really been expanded to all these different topics. And, you know, what we've created is what we call practitioners. So the NetApp on NetApp program is not just limited to the storage team anymore here at NetApp. It is made up of a lot of different people and people who volunteer their time to talk about topics that they are involved in within IT and how they can share those practices with customers. So we may pull in somebody from our application development team to discuss how we've moved to DevOps and how we are doing techniques in that area. Or we might take somebody out of our tools team to talk about how we've done automation in the data center. So just a wide variety. It's been really great because now we've been not only close to engineering, not only close to support, but we're close to sales. And we also work very closely with our marketing organization in order to say, hey, you know, maybe that messaging wouldn't make so much sense to an IT person. Maybe you should, you know, use different terminology or put a different slant on it if you're trying to perhaps attract a certain group of people. So we've built a lot of strong relationships across the company due to the NetApp on NetApp program.
That's great. And part and parcel of that, even as I hear your response, is equipping you well to be an ambassador for the company with the company's customers. And I know there are a lot of CIOs who have struggled to make contact with the customers of their business, the ultimate customers, the people who provide the revenue to the enterprise. Can you talk a bit about the way in which you engage that community, the mechanisms you use or the forums that you use, and how you and your team get more involved with customers?
Yeah, absolutely. And we do. I would say that personally, myself, I spend about a third of my time really externally facing. And the external component can be a number of different vehicles. It can be, you know, going out with some of our salespeople and meeting key accounts and talking about how we use our technology within the company. And then again, at the CIO and VP level, how we're approaching our IT design, our IT strategy, and what we're doing within my organization. I also participate in different CIO groups, bring, you know, messages in through those mechanisms into the CIO groups, make contacts there, you know, about the best practices that we have, also how our product can help different problems that they might be trying to solve within their organization. So through CIO groups is another area. We do briefings. We call them executive briefings. We do those on the road. We do those at our, you know, offices here and in Raleigh. So participate in my team participates in more than half of all the customer briefings that we do. So they're right out there in front talking about topics that are very relevant to the customers and our potential customers. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways that we get out there through our marketing organization, through the sales organization, and then just through industry groups. People have said to me, you know, some people say, well, you're in high tech, so, you know, it's easy to get close to the customer. And I would maintain that whatever role you have, whatever vertical that you're in, you can still get close to customers. And it's really, really important to do, because when you make that connection, you get a whole bunch of information that you can bring back into the organization, either into the IT systems that you are creating and maintaining, or into conversations with your business people. So this is actually my first high-tech job. I had been in transportation and logistics and then in retail for quite some time. But in those industries, I got close to the customers, and I actually had my IT organization go out and do things like spend a day in the store so they could see how the customers reacted, you know, to the different services that we provided. Or in transportation, go out and ride with a driver and see the challenges that drivers had delivering goods to customers. So there are many different ways that you can get close to the customer. And it doesn't have to be that, you know, you're in high tech and you have a product that customers are using.
Right. And that's great insights. It's important for one's team to be out in the field, whatever that field may be, as you described a few different diverse areas that you've worked in. It strikes me, Cynthia, as you're speaking, I wanted to ask you a bit about IT's role in innovation. It strikes me that as a starting point, all of those customer touch points must be a wonderful mechanism for IT to gain insights that could lead to innovative ideas for the enterprise. I'd love to hear any anecdotes you have from that, but also more generally speaking, the role that IT plays in innovation at NetApp.
Yeah, and we do have a role with innovation. We set up what we call an innovation lab. And, you know, it's got a few people that are assigned to the lab. And what they do is they play with technologies. They keep abreast of what is going on in the industries, and they will bring technologies in and play around with them and see what they can do. And that's where our cloud strategy was actually born about 3.5-4 years ago. Brought in some technologies and said, hey, how can we put this to work? And we figured out that by using cloud technologies, we could self-enable business users to do their own departmental applications, and they didn't have to hide in the shadows and try to do it on their own. So a really big role there. You know, what we do is when we bring these technologies in, we actually look to see how can we apply them to problems that we have in our own IT infrastructure. So how can we use technologies, you know, within the data center, perhaps to do more automation, more self-service, you know, more monitoring. We do a lot of that. But we also bring them in to see how the technologies could interrelate and react with our own technology, with NetApp technologies, because we have a huge partner ecosystem. And there are technologies, when you look at cloud or some of the other areas, that our NetApp technology can work wonderfully with the third party, and it becomes extremely, extremely powerful. So we do a lot of that testing and work to see how could we put it to use in our environment. And then we also bring that knowledge into our strategy group and share that information with them. And our strategy group will actually ask us to evaluate vendors that they're interested in maybe having a relationship with, to see in, you know, real life, would it be something that is valuable to an IT organization? So, you know, lots of different aspects and facets to what we do in the innovation space. While it's staffed by a small group of people, we encourage people to submit ideas, and actually anybody can submit an idea and play with it in the lab. So we try to get it out broader than just the innovation group, because we feel, and I feel personally, that everybody has good ideas. So, you know, you should be able to supply those ideas and test them out and play with them, and then see, you know, whether or not it's something that can move into the production state and be operationalized over a period of time.
Great point. And the basis of that is making sure you've got a strong team top to bottom who are awake to developing new ideas and new innovations, as you describe. And actually, that's a nice segue to the next topic I wanted to cover with you, Cynthia, which is, in a place where there's such a wealth of talent, but also a wealth of opportunities for that talent, and where employees are oftentimes rather transient, I'm speaking of Silicon Valley, where you're based, of course, I wonder what methods you have used to attract and retain great IT talent.
Yeah, it is a very competitive field right now. You hear the term war for talent, and it's definitely going on. So what we do within NetApp is we take talent management very, very seriously. We continually evaluate the processes that we use, the skills that we have, and the people that we have, and actually, you know, say, hey, how can we give this person or this group of people a broader experience? Because building out a team and having a team that sticks together, it's important that that team not only grow vertically, but grow horizontally and have a lot of different experiences. So we try to do that internally and provide those different experiences, so that if you're working on technology A, and you know, maybe it's network, let's broaden the team and give them some exposure to storage or servers or something else, so they become more well-rounded and actually more marketable as an individual. We spent a lot of time going through and saying, what skills are really key to NetApp, and what knowledge should we have in-house? And at one point in our history, we were very heavily contractor-based, with about 80% of our staff in contractors. And that's totally turned around now, because we went through and said, this skill, these knowledge base, we need internally. So let's turn it around. Let's find the people. Let's put them in the right place. And we truly also embrace a global workforce. So we've expanded just past Sunnyvale to have staff and offices in Raleigh, in India, and then in some of our key locations around the world. So we do truly, you know, embrace and promote global talent. Other areas that we've done is we recognize that people need training and they need to grow in their careers. And, you know, I'm not just talking about technical training, which we do, but we've created programs like a cohort program where we allow people to really receive education on how do you become a manager of an IT business. So if you have aspirations of being a CIO or a senior leader or, you know, something like that in IT, how can we start building your toolkit? so that you know, you understand how to do finances, that you understand the components of what a good leader should be looking at. So we actually graduated our first class last year of people who went through this cohort program. Another area that we do is we formed a guiding coalition. And what the guiding coalition does, is this is based on work done by John Cotter at Harvard Business School, is it really allows people to connect their heart with their mind. So if they're very passionate about an idea, they can submit and get it done. And the guiding coalition has been absolutely wonderful because it's given individual contributors in the organization the ability to say, this area here or this item might need to change, and actually act and get a team together and change it. One of the real great benefits that I've seen out of this program that I actually didn't realize we were going to see when we started it is the personal growth that we've seen in the individuals. I've had some techie people participate in the Guiding Coalition, GC as we call it, and you know, they know how to talk to their computer, but they actually couldn't present in front of a group. Now they're able to present in front of a group of executives. Also, the organizational skills that some people have gathered, you know, through some of their experiences has been wonderful. So the way that we retain talent and grow talent is by giving a whole variety of experiences to help broaden the individual in many different ways, and not just in technology ways. You know, how we attract, I would say that NetApp is a very attractive company to work for. We're recognized as one of the top employers, great places to work around the world. So people will come to NetApp with that in mind. But we also use a lot of employee referrals. You know, employee referrals are a really good way of getting people in that you know will have the right culture and the right chemistry to fit.
That's a great overview. I appreciate that. I wanted to also ask you, Cynthia, as somebody who's been an IT executive, as you mentioned before, in multiple industries, how have you thought about the transition points in your career? And I guess connected to that, how much do you see as common across IT departments, as diverse an array, B2C, B2B, that you have worked for, and how much is different each time you go into an opportunity?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I've been in actually insurance, in transportation, logistics, retail, and now high tech. And I would say there's a lot of similarities, especially when you start dissecting a lot of the problems and challenges IT organizations have. You know, we just talked about talent. I would say that's a very common problem that people need to deal with across all industry groups. How do you motivate? How do you attract? How do you retain? I would say when you get into some of the challenges with application sprawl and things like that, that's also something that's very common across all different sectors. What I find is different is that different industries can move at different paces, and high tech moves very, very quickly because there's to look at the life cycle of products and you know how quick they move and the competition and everything going on. So the pace of change and staying up with different product introductions is different in high tech than in some of the other industries that I've been in. But what I have found is that as I moved through these different verticals, each vertical has provided a platform of learning that I could take in to the next one and actually grow broader. You know, just like I was talking about before with the helping some of my IT folks grow broader. You grow broader and you just kind of build your encyclopedia of experiences that you can take on to the next vertical, because all the learnings, you know, if you're in retail, I was in retail, I found that using a lot of the experiences that I had from transportation logistics were very relevant. So you can take components of customer service from industry A and then apply best practices to industry B. So there are definitely areas that you can apply. Now, myself, I've always kind of looked at myself as a learner. So I love to read. I love to learn new things. So when I go into any new industry, what I like to focus in on is the gaps in my own knowledge and then start filling those gaps by getting very close to the business. Understanding. Okay, so when I came to NetApp, so exactly how do you do a new product introduction here? What are the steps? And getting that knowledge of what a customer would go through and how we would build the product from start to finish, and then equating it to what I know from the past, and then again, just filling the gaps and building a bigger knowledge base.
I also wanted to ask you, Cynthia, as you look forward to the future out, say, a year, two, or three, what are some of the trends that particularly excite you? What are some of the things you've been investigating for possible use within that app?
Yeah, so you know, we talked about cloud, and I'll have to say that cloud is a huge enabler. So we're continuing within my organization to go down the cloud path and look at how we can leverage that to drive greater business value, especially when we look at the information and the data. So going forward, we'll be using even more of our tools in order to connect our hybrid environments together. Because if we can do that, then we can take the right service from the right place and really stitch together a very powerful and beneficial business process. Because you're no longer constrained to your internal toolkit. You can expand your toolkit out to other areas and then ensure that you have the right data, the data security, and you understand your chain of custody as things move through the ecosystem that you have. So cloud is definitely one area that we're going to continue to invest in. The other one that is very attractive, and we're doing some work, a lot of work within IT in our strategy and architecture space, is really the digitization of business. You know, very hard to say. But when you look at how you can apply digital technologies to business, I think that's going to be a real game changer for how we look at business process end to end. And how do we equip our employees with the right tools that they need in order to have the information right there when they need it, as opposed to perhaps doing a report or something after the fact. So really matching up the information at the time that it's needed with the activity that is taking place. So, you know, equipping people there. One of the areas that we've been really focusing on is what we call our target state architecture. And what the target state architecture is doing, it's really looking at the experience that a customer, a partner, or employee would have really throughout the life cycle of engaging through a process with NetApp. And you look at architecture maybe, you know, 5-7 years ago or whatever, you kind of look at, okay, what is my business process? And then how do I kind of map it out? And how do I add my automation in? Well, we're saying let's do it a little bit different here and let's create journey maps. And the journey map from the aspect, okay, if I'm a customer and I interact with NetApp, how does that journey look from a new customer all the way to a mature customer? What does the journey map look for an employee, a new employee, and then an employee here that's here day to day? What tools do they use? What is their experience? And this is really going to drive how we use digital technologies in order to drive a much better, seamless experience for the people that use our systems and our processes.
Cynthia, I wonder also, is this the sort of thing, as you're developing these journey maps that you referred to, are you finding that as you bring in younger members of the workforce, that you're learning a lot about the ways in which they work that are different from those who've been with the company for a longer period of time? I wonder if there are any kind of insights you've drawn from that.
Yes, absolutely. We have an intern program here also here at NetApp. In the summer, we bring in at least 10 different interns from different colleges and universities and even graduate programs. And I have to say, every time we have them here, it's just a big eye-opener because there are things that they raise and what they do is just totally different that you just wouldn't think about. So yes, absolutely. I'll say the younger workforce is just fresh, a wonderful, absolutely amazing ideas. And we need to start preparing, you know, how we're going to actually deal with them when they become more of a majority in the workforce. Because the ideas that they have and how they work and multitask and do all these different things are pretty amazing.
Excellent. Well, Cynthia Stoddard, thank you so much for joining us on the Forum on World Class IT and sharing some of your perspectives. It's really been a great conversation.
Yes, like I said at the beginning, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, Peter, and thank you for inviting me to participate.
You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call MetaStrategies Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategies' five principles of world class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. And our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.